kids involved and all of that. And I think we need to find, I really think we need to find more ways to integrate them into our services. So I thank him for leading that charge. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Blessed are those who find wisdom and those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who will take hold of her, those who hold her fast will be blessed. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time in your word. And we pray that you would open our eyes and allow us to see what you need us to see. Allow us to hear what you need us to hear. Allow us to understand and to apply the truths of your word. Truly, you have been so good to us, Lord, as our brother that shared the table message this morning constantly reminded us it's only by your grace, only because of your love, only because of your shed blood and your desire to give the maximum for us. Give up Jesus Christ and your first begotten. And we just pray that you would watch over us as we've been recipients of this great grace, of this great salvation. Help us to recognize how valuable salvation we have. The riches that we have in Jesus Christ, the blessings that abound to each and every one of us, Lord. And as we recognize how blessed we are, help us to recognize also how indebted we are to you because of all that you've done for us, because of all you've given to us. Help us as we strive to live for you each and every day. Bless this sermon series as we look to you and to guide us and to guide our conversation. We pray, Lord, that once again, that I might just be used as a vehicle, as a vessel, to be able to share the word of God with others and allow them to hear you clearly through me. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start a four-part sermon series called Practical Wisdom for Everyday Life. And we're going to look at four areas. Today, first, we're going to start with seeking God's wisdom. Next week, we'll be looking at making wise choices in relationships. Third, handling money wisely. And then fourth, living wisely where you work. And so I pray that this message and that the series of message might help us look to God for instruction and direction in our lives. Proverbs 13 through 18 share so much good information, but before I look at that, I want to share with you a little story of something that happened to me. Some of you may have heard this. Some of you, this will be new. But when I was 17 years old and I just graduated high school, we went down to Rehoboth Beach. You know, there's this thing called Senior Week. And during senior week, most of the seniors kind of go down there, and you'll see all the beaches, the Delaware beaches, and Ocean City, and all that. People just get away. Many of the seniors would get away to just stretch out their arms of freedom away from the parents, at least for that weekend. Freedom away from school. We're done, and we're just celebrating that. And so we went down there, and I was with some friends. They had a beach house and we're staying with them. And we decided to go to the store and go shopping, but we ain't had no money. So we're in the store and one of the guys throws a shirt at me and goes, "Hide it, hide it." I knew what he was saying and I did it. I took the shirt and I put it right under my jacket. Then we walked out. And then one of the friends, one of our friends that was with our group got caught. We all went back in, and guess what? Now we all got caught. This is 17 years old. I had already enlisted into the Navy. I was waiting to, shortly afterward to be enlisted. And now I'm charged. I'm charged. I wasn't thinking. I was just going with the moment, going with what was happening at that moment, and I didn't think about my parents and their instruction. I didn't think about God and his instruction. I didn't think about anything except what was right before me at that moment. And unfortunately, there were great ramifications. There were great results as a result of it. I couldn't get into the Navy at the time where I was supposed to. I had to go to court system and all of that and fight. And matter of fact, the Navy recruiter helped me, and he kind of came to court and kind of vouched for my character and all this, and he's not really that kind of guy, but still, I got a slap on the wrist, and praise God that it was while I was 17, and not when a week and a half later when I would be 18. Yeah, it was right on the line. It was right on the line. It was a dumb thing to do. Many of us have done some of them dumb things. And sometimes, especially in youth you excuse some of those dumb things, right? You go, what, it, you know, anyway, you say whatever your words are about that. But I want to tell you another story of something I just was looking at yesterday. A woman, doctor, making over $300,000 a year. And she goes into a Target, and they find her. They've seen her, or they've been monitoring her for a month, going in and slipping some stuff in her bag and going right out. And finally, they were looking at her, looking for her, and they got her. They got her. And I was just thinking about the embarrassment that it must have been for her. You know, you excuse away a 17-year-old. But a person making $300,000 a year with plenty of means to pay for whatever was at Target is stealing. And you go, what were you thinking? And usually you go, you weren't thinking, or you weren't even thinking right. And the reason I'm bringing this in is that sometimes we make dumb choices. Sometimes we put on the blinders and don't see, you know, anything. We just want to do what we want to do. Whatever feels right, we go after it and all of that. And so what God wants to do is to be the parent in this situation. He is our parent. He is our father, right? And he instructs us and he gives us direction. So when we find ourselves in these predicaments, we have somewhere to go to. We have someone to look to. We have encouragement, advice, instruction to be able to gain that's greater than our own. Because I'll tell you, when I'm thinking by myself and for myself and according to my own desires and wants and all that, if I'm being led by this, by me, by this flesh, it will lead me contrary. It will lead me away from God so many more times than it will draw me closer to him. Here in this Proverbs, Solomon, which is a man who had great wisdom, was given great wisdom. He didn't always use the wisdom that he had, but he had access to all this great wisdom that God gave to him. And he shares with us something. He says in verse 13, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold, more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. I want to start with that first word, blessed. Blessed means I'm content, I'm happy, God, why am I content? Why am I happy? Because God is taking care of me. God is sustaining me. God is helping me. And as a result of that, I'm in a state of being blessed. Blessed doesn't mean I got everything I ever want. Doesn't mean that there's millions of dollars in my bank account. Doesn't mean I'm driving the fanciest cars. But that means that there is a sense of contentment that comes from me in this relationship between God and I. And so I'm blessed. And he's saying, you're blessed are those who find wisdom and gain understanding. You've heard me say this over and over and over again. You know, information is great. We need to seek out God's information. We need to see, but information alone doesn't do anything without application. So wisdom is applying what is true, applying that truth and bringing it. And with that, when we apply the truth of God's word, it blesses us. It enhances our life. It continues to move us in the right direction. It says, wisdom is more profitable than silver and gold. I mean, there are so many people, I would say, hey, you want a wisdom? Or would you like $1 million? I mean, just imagine going to some people on the street and, you know, would you like to be more wise in areas of whatever, business, et cetera, or $1 million? And I'm pretty sure most people would say, if you got $1 million in that suitcase right there, I'll take that, right? But with wisdom, see, first of all, you take a thing of money and you hand it to somebody without much wisdom, what's going to happen to that money? Well, I see it all the time. You see people that all of a sudden they get this windfall and they get an inheritance, or you win the lottery, or some great fortune comes your way, but you weren't really prepared for it. And I've seen people, or read of people rather, that have received all this money and stuff like that, and years later are broke. You've seen the athletes and all of that have these multi-million dollar contracts and all that, and at the end of working, they know that at some point your body's going to give out. Wisdom says prepare for that day, right? Folly says no, spend it all, use it in order to gratify self and in order to feel good, and then shortly there's no more of that. So wisdom will sustain you for the long run. Long life is in her right hand. Riches and honor are in her left hand. Her ways are pleasant ways, are paths of peace. And I want you to see this in verse 18. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of it. It kind of takes me to Psalm, the first Psalm, right? And you see this tree of life that is just giving and just flowing and all of that, but you've got to take hold of her. I don't have this in the scripture, but there's a part where it says that wisdom is right there at the chief part of the city, crying out to those who have folly, those that walk in folly, saying, "Come to me and eat of my feast." And then there's the foolish lady who's doing this very same thing. She's saying, "Hey, come here. I've got a feast prepared, and it's delicious. And come in secret. Come on in. Shh, don't nobody know you're coming in here. And we can have a little fun, and we can have a little party." And it says, "But don't you know that those that enter in there are going to the phrase that says, I'm going to summarize it, are pretty much going to their death, to their death." And so what we have to do is recognize, I want God's wisdom. And there is a different wisdom out there. We'll look at it in a second. But I want God's wisdom. I want the wisdom that comes from God, the truth that comes from God, even when I don't want to hear it. Even when I don't want to hear it. Let's look at this, the source of true wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Here's the thing about the Lord. You know, sometimes I look at humanity, and sometimes we're in competition with one another. You know, I see people who withhold information sometimes because I don't really want to tell you all my little secrets on this or tell you that, because it helps me to have a little upmanship over you. You know what I mean? If I know something you don't know, I'm going to just keep it quiet and keep it to myself, because that helps me feel better about myself and all of that. But you see, what God desires is to disseminate his wisdom to be a blessing to all those, the recipients of it. He wants to give it out to us so that we can be the very best version of ourselves, so that we can be all that we can be in him. And so God wants us to know. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know his word. He wants us to know his will for us and all of that. And it's saying here, like, this is a complicated life. God understands that this life is going to throw some things at us. Yeah, we're going to get some curveballs thrown at us. There are going to be some times of confusion. There will be some times where we're walking and we're living and we're doing, and all of a sudden, everything I thought I knew, all of a sudden, it's unchanged. This is a fast-moving world. But the constant we have is God and his wisdom. And he stands supreme over all. He rules supreme over all. And so it's saying that when we find that we're lacking, the very first place to go is to God, because he is the source of all wisdom. And he desires that we come to him. Second, there's so many limitations of worldly wisdom. So that's the opposite side. So we have godly wisdom, and then we have this worldly wisdom that's out here. Obviously, it's contrary to God. It's giving you an opposing voice. You know, remember in the cartoons, or you would see like the angel on one side and the devil on the other side, and they're both there whispering into one of your ears, psst, do this, psst, do that. You know, like the guy throwing the shirt, and here you are like, oh, who do I listen to? What do I do? What do I do? And sometimes we'll, all right, I'm listening to the wrong voice, right? God's voice is saying one thing. Hey, you can get in trouble for that. Hey, you don't want to do that. There are repercussions to that. And then the other voice, it's fun, isn't it? We get away with this, huh? You know, I doubt the lady, the doctor that did all that. I doubt that she was having fun after she got caught, but there was something in that action that lit something up in her life, maybe some adventure or something like that, right? But look at this, verse 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, right? This tells us, we can never get so wise. We can never get so smart. We can, you know, sometimes we think we've achieved heights of greatness and intellectual superiority, and yet as smart as we get, the dumber we look as in comparison to God. God looks, what? You ever seen the Scooby-Doo? Remember Scrappy-Doo? Scrappy-Doo was this little dog, and he was always trying to fight, but they'd always be looking at him like, come on, little Scrappy. All right. You might get a little. God, I wonder how he looks down at us. And like when we think of our intellect and we think of our greatness and our achievements and all that, and he looks down at us, shaking his head, pitiful, pitiful people. He says the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. And then Proverbs 14:12-16 says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof for the ways of death. And this is in every spectrum of life. There are things that we think like we understand, we know, and all of that, even in religion. Even in religion, you see Jesus talking to many that would come to him later on and say, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done these many wonderful works in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works and miracles in your name? What does he say? Depart from me. I never knew you. See, there are some of us who construct a religion that has God in it, that, you know, we bring him into it, and you know, here's the recipe, and the recipe calls for 100% God, but I'm put a little bit of here, and I'm put a little bit of me, and put a little bit of the world, and put a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and yeah, I'll throw a little bit of you in it, sprinkle a little bit of you, God, in it, and then I'll call that religion. Then I sit down and I serve and I bow down to that thing that I've constructed, that I've made. I've add God's name into it. I've add Jesus' name into it, but he's really not leading it. Man is. And so Jesus says, look, depart from, you've been doing all that. That was y'all stuff. That wasn't me. That was you constructing something for yourself, adding me to it, and then claiming that it was me. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end are the ways of death. Worldly wisdom is flawed, imperfect. It focuses on temporary things, and it leads to pride and selfishness. When we're following after God, listen, following after God. Think of any instance in the Bible where someone had to be confronted by God personally, and you will find a person that was prostrate on the floor, oftentimes, because the holiness of God and God's power is not even comparable to us as humans, right? And so God gives us the direction, and what we're supposed to do is just follow. I'm not saying that's easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but that's what it is. Now let's contrast and let's look at godly and worldly wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:15 and 16 says, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, there's a wisdom that comes from God, and there's a wisdom from the world. Now, once again, I'll leave that up so you can take pictures or anything like that. Or if you want a copy, I can send it to you all, so just let me know. But this godly wisdom and this worldly wisdom. And once again, one of the things we need to do is figure out the destinations of following after whatever. Following after myself, we already saw that if I follow after myself in a way that seems right to a man, but it can end up taking me to a location, to a place where I do not want to be. But I want to follow God's direction. I want to follow God's wisdom. I want him to lead me. And that I might be in that straight and narrow gate that leads to life everlasting. So let's look at these different wisdoms, the godly wisdom and worldly wisdom. Godly wisdom obviously comes from God. Worldly wisdom comes from human understanding. Right, we've already discussed that. Godly wisdom seeks humility and service. Worldly wisdom seeks fame and fortune. You know, so on one side, and this is a beautiful thing, this example of Jesus Christ, who comes to this earth. Jesus's whole story was a story of service and sacrifice. Right? The Son of God came not to be served, but to serve. He steps out of heaven, humbles himself to the lowest position possible, to making himself servant of man. And yet God sees his great service, sees how low he gets, and exalts him to the highest position because of how much service he gave. And he gave it all, as the brother shared with us earlier. He gave it all. And so that's what we're called to do also. Follow after the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Godly wisdom stands eternal, and worldly wisdom comes and goes like the wind. Godly wisdom glorifies God. Worldly wisdom glorifies self. Godly wisdom unites people in Christ, and worldly wisdom divides people. Godly wisdom is based on the Holy Spirit, and worldly wisdom is based on human understanding. You know, I find it, I actually like to look at documentaries and things of that nature. On cults, and it's just something very fascinating for me. And sometimes I'll look at them, and I'll look at just the the psychology that's being played. The cult leader's using lots of different psychology. He needs to get you to be dependent upon him or her, dependent upon whoever that cult leader is. And that dependence on them is really, as a minister, as elders, as deacons, as a church, our job is to help you get connected with God and get closer with God. And yeah, there's a relationship we have with one another, but my relationship is primarily not for you to put me on a pedestal, not for you to exalt me or whoever mounts the pulpit or whoever's in that position. It's not for us to look to them or to an elder or to a deacon or anyone and exalt them, but our job is to point you to Christ and to help you get in a deeper relationship with them. And oftentimes the cult leaders, what they'll do is make sure that you're dependent upon them for everything, your emotional support, sometimes even your financial support. Your well-being somehow is connected to them or the group. And God, what God desires is, once again, that all of us would look to him, that we would have relationship with him, and through that relationship with him, everything flows from there. See, because I love God, I love you. Because I want to serve God, I want to serve you. But there's no ulterior motive. I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to do this for him so he can give me this. Or there's no ulterior motives. It's to serve because of what Jesus did in my life and how he's blessed me and how he saved me. And now I have a responsibility to take that same message that saved me and share it with you and share it with others and help others to get connected with God. Godly wisdom unites people in Christ. Worldly wisdom divides. Godly wisdom is based on the Spirit. Worldly wisdom based on human thinking. Godly wisdom focuses on eternal things. Worldly wisdom focuses on the temporary. Godly wisdom leads right to righteousness and peace. And worldly wisdom leads to selfishness and pride. And I actually want to read this last one in its entirety. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm actually going to start at verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. I'm saying, unless you have the Holy Spirit, there's some things you don't really understand about all this. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The world cannot understand God's wisdom completely. Because to the world, they think they're the authorities. God is just this imaginary and figment of imagination, this fairy tale. And so those are for people that their IQ is, low, right? Those are for some challenged people who will believe in this fairy tale. I mean, that's what they would tell you. That's what the world thinks. To the world, the things that we do are foolishness. Yeah, your husband hurt you, divorce him immediately. That's the world. They hit you, hit him right back. They curse at you, curse at him right back. They anger you, oh yeah, go take vengeance. And some of you right now are replaying the contrary, God's wisdom, right now in your own head, right? Vengeance is what? Mine says who? Says the Lord. Did that come to anyone's mind while we were talking? Yeah. Vengeance in mine says, Lord, I will repay. That's God saying that. I got this. But the world says, no. Imagine them looking at Jesus as Jesus was saying, look, they give him the other. Give him your coat also. Walk that extra mile. Imagine them, the world looking at that going, what a sucker. What a fool. How weak must you be in order to do that? And isn't it exactly the opposite? That it takes strength, so much strength, to be able to stand there while someone has hurt you and not retaliate? That it takes more strength to even be able to say, I'm sorry, and ask for forgiveness, or even give and extend forgiveness to someone else? Doesn't it take great strength to do those things? But yet the world would say one thing, and God will say something completely different. Friends, the world isn't going to understand what we're talking about, and we're talking about relationships. They're going to have a whole different standard than God. What we're going to be looking at these next 3 weeks in some practical areas of our lives are not things that you know, it's not human psychology. What does God say? Where's God's wisdom in how people, first of all, come together into this relationship, and then how you stay together in your relationships? Because once again, the world says something different than what God says. How you handle your money, the world is going to tell you something different than what God says. But what I desire is, what does God say? And the truth of God's word has been proven over and over and over again. If you apply God's principles, you remember this, what we just read? It's more profitable. It yields better returns. Long life is when we live. Riches and honor are a blessing. Paths of peace are a blessing that come to us, right? And it's a tree of life that continues to shower these blessings upon us, to those who take hold, to those who desire to want to live according to God's word and God's instruction. You're going to find yourself in that very blessed place. And then, of course, also, as we're looking at how we live out in this world and on our job and as citizens, we're going to look at that also. God has much to say about that also. And so I encourage you, come on back each week. If you're here, this is just a little appetizer for the next parts that are coming afterward. I'm setting the scene to make sure that we understand the contrast and the difference between God's wisdom and worldly wisdom. And now what we want to do is look at some practical places where we can apply godly wisdom. And we're going to see the other side also. We're going to see the worldly wisdom, what the world says. And then I'm going to encourage you and challenge you to choose to do what God says despite what man says. Amen. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for your wisdom. Oftentimes, you've been screaming, you've been yelling, you've been telling us, you've been showing us over and over and over again. And sometimes we just can't see, we can't hear, or we won't see, or we won't hear. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes. Help us to open our hearts. And help us, Lord, to receive your word and to receive it with thankfulness and receive it with joy and to allow it to transform each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and just for even giving us this day. I don't believe that it is an accident that we're all here on this morning. I don't believe it's an accident for those that are listening online. There's a message in this message for everyone. And Lord, there's a message specifically for someone who's listening right now, Lord. And I just pray that you would touch them and help them and encourage them, Lord, in those areas where you know they need help, strength, and encouragement. Lord, bless this congregation. Help us continue to do the work you've assigned us. Bless the meeting we're about to have afterward with the deacons and the elders and ministry leaders. And help us, Lord, as we strive to do the work you've assigned us to do and to follow after your wisdom. Father, we ask all these things in the blessed name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and I just want to share with you that probably the wisest decision you could make if you find yourself outside of God's grace and outside of his salvation is to come and surrender to Jesus Christ. And you can do that this morning, surrendering in baptism. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, and he rose. And I want you to think about that. He comes, he dies, he's buried in a tomb. And then as that tomb is opened up, we saw that he was no longer in there. He rose from the dead. And us too, today you could have walked in here dead in your sins and decide, I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to die to myself. I want to die to my flesh. I want to surrender to the Lord. And you do that in baptism. Remember in Acts chapter 2, there were some people that heard the gospel for the very first time. And they said, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter's the one that got up and he said, filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, let every one of you repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. This is what it's for. It's for the forgiveness of sins. I know there's some people that say, it's for something different. It's just for an outward sign of inward grace. But Peter said it was for the remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I just kind of trust Peter more than anyone else that was never walking with Jesus. You know what I mean? He kind of walked with him for a little bit. Peter says, repent and be baptized. How many of you? Every one of you. For what purpose? Forgiveness of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If there's someone here this morning that needs to be forgiven of your sins, you know you stand guilty of your sins. You know you still stand outside of God's grace. Won't you come? Won't you just surrender and give your life to him? I mean, it's his already. You're just giving it back to him. Won't you do that today? Repent, be baptized. The water's ready. Everything's ready. If you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. Just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you just now. Just